Are you feeling stuck in your business? You became an entrepreneur because you were so passionate and excited about your expertise. But somewhere down the line, you've ended up with a lot of frustration, disappointment, and dissatisfaction. You're working too many hours for too little money and not having a lot of fun. Contact Kate Beaters at katebeaters.com to learn how you can build the business and life you love by having success on your own terms. Contact katebeaters.com today.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm speaking to you from kind of sunny Boston. We only have about 3 feet of snow here, and got a really exciting show for you. In fact, we were just having such a great conversation that when we got the little reminder we're supposed to go on air, it's like, oh, okay, now we're going to have to start in the beginning. But I'm really excited about the show today. And before I bring on my guest, I just want to ask everyone to please save the date. June 18th through 20th is going to be the Money Zone event, and that's going to be a really, really powerful event for all of you purpose-driven entrepreneurs. We're going to be talking about money, obviously how to make more, how to deal with all those money stories that are in the way, talking about your mindset that keeps you stuck, and then also what action you need to take to move forward. So the dates are June 18th through 20th here in Boston, and if you go to the website moneyzoneevent.com, you'll get all the information, and we've actually got special early bird tickets for everybody. So go ahead, grab them now before they go away. And again, that's moneyzoneevent.com. And I would love to meet each and every one of you at the event. Last year's people never even want to leave. It was a really, really cool time. So let me tell you about my guest. I'm going to read you a little bit of her formal bio, but then I'm going to let her tell her story. And her name is Janet Switzer, and she's actually in, I think, sunny California today. And she's actually a 25-year veteran of generating revenue from small businesses, including many of the world's top celebrity entrepreneurs. And she's the New York Times bestselling co-author with Jack Canfield of The Success Principles, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be, and it's been published in 30 languages. And she's also the number one best-selling author of Instant Income, Strategies of Bringing the Cash for Small Businesses, Innovative Employees, and Occasional Entrepreneurs from McGraw-Hill Publishers. And her books, newsletters, and training courses are used by business people in more than 80 countries, spanning dozens of diverse industries and virtually every business category. And you can learn more if you go to her website, which is janetswitzer.com. So, Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I am so excited to have you here because I know we're starting to have a really cool conversation, and now we're back to being on air. So one thing I would love for you to do is that you started to say something that somebody was very influential in your life and kind of helping you get to from where you were to where you are. So can you kind of share your story and maybe some of your influences?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had a wonderful childhood, amazing parents who were very achievement-oriented. And actually, my mom was a great role model. She was a librarian, and it's actually no wonder I ended up in the book trade, right, working with authors and being an author myself. But I was reading by the time I was 4 years old, and she would bring home stacks and stacks of books from the library, and I would devour them. Every week she'd bring home a new stack, and I'd devour that one too. So like I said, it's probably no surprise that I ended up being an author and loving books so much. But I think really the thing that put me on the path that I'm on now, developing resources and tools for small business owners, and also discovering and honing strategies and systems that generate revenue for small businesses, is that all the way back in 1989, I went to work for a man you may have heard of, Jay Abraham, who at the time was America's highest paid marketing consultant, probably still is actually to this day. but he was teaching some pretty revolutionary kinds of strategies, almost guerrilla marketing tactics to small businesses. So I learned a lot there, but I also learned the art and science of marketing, particularly direct response marketing, and how to craft marketing campaigns and sales letters and all kinds of other materials that really cause people to not only sit up and take notice of a business, but also pull out their wallets and buy. Gave them all the information they needed in order to make a buying decision, almost like salesmanship in print. And so I learned that and honed that skill. And that's, I've sort of taken that with me over the last 25 years. And then literally a chance meeting in 1992, I happened to meet Jack Canfield, now his business partner and president of his company is Patty Aubrey, who introduced me to Jack, and they literally just published Chicken Soup for the Soul about 6 months earlier. They were still selling that book out of the back of their minivan at the swap meet when I met them. They were trying all kinds of crazy things. And I came in with a 7-page marketing plan, not just for the book, but for Jack's business. Of course, most people think that his business empire started with that book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Not true. He actually had a very busy seminar and speaking business. He was known back then as America's foremost authority on the subject of self-esteem in the classroom and self-esteem in the workplace. And so I came in very early on in the picture with Chicken Soup for the Soul, helped build that brand for them.
And can I just interrupt you for a sec? You said you came in with like a 7-page report?
Mm-hmm, a 7-page marketing plan. And it was kind of funny because Patty said, you know,
I was
gonna
say, how cool is
what
that and
for
good
it?
For you?
Yeah. I literally sat down at the computer and just everything that I knew from having worked for J. Abraham for 4 years, everything that I knew to do, I just literally, it wasn't even a formal marketing plan. It was like a bulletized list that went on for 7 pages of all these things that we could do to market the book and Jack's career. So that's what I came in with. And next thing I knew, about 10 months later, Chicken Soup was number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And after that, I became sort of an accidental consultant. People who were friends and colleagues of Jack's and Mark Victor Hansen's, other emerging authors and speakers, just called and said, hey, what can you do for us? And I literally fell into the work of being a revenue strategist for a major celebrity expert out there.
I think that is so cool, and I love so many parts of the story too, Janet, because, you know, here you were, you just kind of went, like you said, it wasn't a formal thing, and I think so many entrepreneurs feel that they have to do everything and be like, have everything so perfect. And I'm not saying your report wasn't perfect, but it sounds like you kind of just gave them all this really great info, and you took a chance, you took a risk, and, it sounds like he was already kind of a big deal at that time, and look what happened to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the backstory to that 7-page marketing plan, by the way, is that at first I resisted working for them. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I'd been an employee my whole life. I thought I would go back to doing that. I actually didn't know how to be a consultant at that point. And they kind of said, well, if you're going to refuse to work for us, we're going to have to hire somebody out of the newspaper. So could you at least write up what you would do for us so that we could compare that to what the person from the newspaper, all those candidates are going to come in with. And Patty handed Jack the 7 pages, and he said, first of all, get her. Secondly, gosh, if we just do everything that Janet Switzer tells us to do, we'll be millionaires in a year. And they certainly were that within a year's time.
That is so cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and also congratulations. And, you know, I think that's such a cool story, and I really hope even just that story alone will inspire everybody listening, because I think it's pretty powerful.
Well, absolutely. And one of the principles that we talk about in the new book, Success Principles, the 10-year anniversary edition that just came out, is this concept of just lean into it. Get going. See what it feels like. See if that's what you want to do. Without any formal agreement, without knowing what the future path is going to be, just lean into it and see if this is something that you want to do. And I think that helps a lot of people get started. It gets them in action. When if they didn't just lean into it, they might stay in the planning mode forever.
And exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that happens so often. Is that, you know, I see this with the entrepreneurs I work with, the entrepreneurs I talk to, Janet, that they're waiting for everything to be so perfect.
Right.
And
not
going to
happen.
It isn't.
Rarely.
And that's why what I so love about your story, because it wasn't perfect, and just that you went in and all this amazing stuff happened. I mean, you know, your power came out, his power came out, and then the joint venture together, you know, multiplied it, and it's just so cool. So I know we started talking about the book, and it is really exciting because it's a big anniversary, and the book, I kind of look at it almost like an entrepreneurial Bible. I mean, when I got it, you know, years ago, it's big and it's fat, and that's how I kind of think of it, is, you know, like all the information you could ever need is right in there.
Well, and it's actually slightly bigger this time. Our anniversary edition, we actually added a new section, Success in the Digital Age, how successful people use technology, how they master technology, how they use social media very effectively, how they build their brands online rather than just going out there with all kinds of posts on other people's blogs and questionable photos on their Facebook page and all kinds of things. Successful people we know really are very careful about the persona that they present to others online, because we do know that literally literally millions and millions and millions of the Google searches that are done every single day are for a person's name. And you know, you've seen this, Kate. I mean, how much you can find out about a person just by Googling their name. Well, who could be Googling you as an entrepreneur, a potential client or customer, a bank loan officer if you're looking for financing or a lender for your company. So a lot of people can check you out. So it's very, very important as an entrepreneur especially to really be careful about what you put out there online, what's your persona out there. So we talk about that in this whole new section in the back of the book called Success in the Digital Age, to the point where there's one university who literally purchased reputation management services, online reputation management,
really?
For all graduating seniors of their university, because this is such a career killer for so many young people, what they've done and posted online. So that's just one of the things that we talk about in that chapter. We talk about also there's a principle about crowdfunding and using the power of the internet for crowdsourcing and really building a community worldwide around whatever it is. If you have a business, wonderful. That's you can instantly become an international business using the internet. But even for nonprofits or just a project, an initiative that you have a lot of passion for, you want to clean up rivers or help underprivileged children or whatever you want to do, there's a community out there on the internet in the digital age who can really coalesce around your initiative. So that's something that we talk about in the book as well.
Well, you know, there's really so much really great information, and I'm curious, because that must have been a really big undertaking. How did it come about, and was the plan for it to be like all this, or did it just kind of spiral? Because everything in there is great.
Well, when Jack and I first decided to write the Success Principles 10 years ago, we really wanted it to be the culmination of over 40 years worth of studying the world's highest income earners and most profound achievers in all fields, not just entrepreneurs, but also the field of medicine and sports and education, which Jack is very big in the field of education, the arts, philanthropic endeavors, but also just everyday people who simply decided to pursue something that they were passionate about, as I mentioned, and it became a great success. So after those 40 years of Jack Canfield's career, studying and those people, but also honing and refining those strategies, and about 25 years for me, what we ultimately wrote about 10 years ago were the 64 principles that achievers use really every day to move themselves forward on their success path. And originally it was not 64, it was actually 120 originally, down to the 64 must-dos. And these principles we discovered really are, they're part of who these high achievers are. They're part of their daily habits. They're part of their DNA. And what we learned is that both their outlook and their outcomes seem to be different than the rest of the world. That was really the big discovery. And that original book, I have to say, we're very proud of this. It was chosen as the number one book for leaders, managers, and humans by Noop Research. It was chosen over 99 other success classics out there. And now the 10-year anniversary edition of that book has just been released last week, completely updated and revised for what achievers do today. And by the way, these principles, they're learnable by anyone. So I'm pleased really to talk about the most important success principles that Jack and I cover in the book. They're for everybody.
So let me ask you something, Janet, because the book has so much great information. And for someone like me, I mean, I'm an avid reader. I'm a type A. I just kind of like jump right in. But I know not everybody's like that. How do you suggest somebody, when they're getting if they haven't read it yet and they go out and get the book, how do you suggest that they kind of start and really get the most out of it?
Well, one thing you should know about the book is it's in bite-sized pieces. So there are 67 principles in the new edition, and you can read one on your lunch hour or while you're working out at the gym, whatever. But they're very easy to dig into that one principle. And also it's a great resource. We have people who use the book every December, late in the year, to figure out what their life plan is going to be the next year. They go through all the principles again. But I would actually start with the very first principle, which is really the one I think that dominates every other thing that high achievers do to become successful. And that is that they're really their most critical characteristic is that they take 100% responsibility for what happens in their lives. And that's principle number one in the book. Take
100%. Oh, that's so huge.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
so
they
huge.
Take responsibility for their income, for their debts, their career, their business, relationships, their health, and the quality of their lifestyle, even their life, work-life balance, their downtime, their free time. They take responsibility for all of it. And I think the lesson for all of us is that there's really only one person responsible for the quality of life that you live, and that person is you. I mean, what got you here to this point in your life are the decisions that you made and the actions that you took, even the actions that you failed to take. That's really important, a big wake-up call to a lot of people. And I have to say, this realization is not easy because, in fact, most of us have really been kind of conditioned throughout our lives to blame something outside of ourselves for the parts of our life that we don't like. And, you know, we blame, who do we blame? Our parents, our bosses, our business partners, our teachers, friends, the weather, the economy, our golf clubs, or lack
That's
of
right.
good golf clubs, you know. Anything that we can pin the blame on, we never really want to look at where the real problem is, and that's ourselves. But to achieve great things, you really have to take the position that you've always had the power to make it different, to get it right, to produce the desired result. You have that power. For whatever reason, maybe you chose not to exercise that power. You know, who knows why? It doesn't matter. The past is the past, and you can move forward now and choose to act as if you're 100% responsible for everything that happens to you or doesn't happen to you. And there's a really great formula that really helps us, you know, figure out, you know, what do we need to do differently next time to get the result that we want. And the formula that really answers that question and which helps you take 100% responsibility is, we talk about this in the book, it's called E plus R equals O. And the formula E plus R equals O stands for events, that's the E, plus responses equals outcomes, the O. And you know, if you're not getting the outcomes that you want, that is, you know, abundance, great relationships, you're happy, you're loving, you're healthy, all these, it's because you haven't responded correctly to the events that have occurred up to now. So, you know, let's say that you're a small business owner, as our listeners are here today. The economy goes into recession and you start losing business, well, that's an event, really outside your control pretty much. Now, one response is you could get depressed and stop prospecting for new customers. That's a response. But eventually your income is going to be severely affected, and that's an outcome. But when we take 100% responsibility for outcomes, we start looking at events in a completely different light. Events literally just become things that happen. They're not life's way of ruining our day. And there's a really good example of E plus R equals O in the book, the story that we talk about. And it's the story of a business. It's a Lexus dealership here in Southern California who was facing this exact dilemma when the Gulf War broke out, which also happened to coincide with the onset of the 1990-91 recession. And at that time, fewer and fewer buyers were coming in. So even though their normal response would have been to place more ads in the newspaper and more ads on the radio, they decided to respond differently this time and actually take their fleet of cars to where rich people were hanging out, the country clubs, the marinas, the polo grounds, parties in Beverly Hills and Westlake Village, and inviting people to take a spin in a new Lexus. And after each test drive, they would ask people if they wanted to continue driving the new car for the next week, and most of them said, yeah, sure. Now, I mean, honestly, Kate, think about this. Have you ever test-driven a new car and then gotten back into your old car?
Oh, yeah.
Get that feeling of dissatisfaction that you felt?
That's right. It's like you.
Comparing your old car to the new car that you'd just driven. Well, your old car was, you know, fine up until then, but suddenly you knew there was something better and you wanted that. Well, the same thing happened with these folks. And after 1 week of driving around in a new car, 64% of the people bought or leased a new Lexus. So the dealership changed their response, their R, to an unexpected event, E, which was the war and the recession, until they got the outcome that they wanted, which was increased sales. And they actually ended up selling so many more cars than before the war broke out using this method. They actually still use this marketing method today. So the E plus R equals formula reminds us to focus on what we can do to change our outcomes, because suddenly you're not so externally influenced, and you know, people aren't out to get you. It's a lot more liberating, I think, because you don't have to be a victim. It gives you the opportunity to give up blaming and complaining, which, you know, keeps your brain in a negative state all the time, frankly.
And victim mode is something that people tend to go in very, very quickly and very easily, and they believe it to be true.
Yeah, absolutely. And all that complaining that people out there are doing, well, what is complaining really? Complaining simply means that, you know, there's something better out there that you prefer. You know, things could be better. But people who complain aren't willing to go after that something better. So when you encounter the complainers, hopefully that's not you, but when you encounter other people who complain, this is what they're doing. They're silently saying, there's something better out there for me, but I'm not willing to go after it. So taking responsibility is really how we mature in our thinking. It sometimes also means that we have to do things that are uncomfortable. That's okay. And I know as business owners, we have to do the uncomfortable every day, pretty much, I find. There's a quote from former Congressman Ed Foreman who said, winners are those people who make a habit of doing the things that losers are uncomfortable doing. Ouch. Well, you know, if there are responses that you're making in your life that are giving you outcomes that you're not happy with, stop making those responses. Stop doing those things. Face what's not working and change it. Change your responses. Whether it's uncomfortable or not, remember that winners are those people who make a habit of doing the things that losers are uncomfortable doing. That's what he said.
Exactly. And also, too, one thing, you know, you were saying earlier about, you know, certain traits that are with successful people. I mean, I know it's been said that if they took the money from all the people who had all the money and kind of pulled it away from them and then just kind of mass distributed, that they would still end up with their money again. And it seems like also, too, with people who are successful, that even if they have a failure, because of who they are and how they act and you know, be able to get out of victim mode and change their responses, then it sounds like everything you're saying, too, is that then they also have the ability to create new success.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that we know, and Jack and I talk about this in the book, we know about high achievers. You can never take away from them the people that they have become in the act of pursuing their goals and achieving great things. Literally, you could take away their big bank account, their beautiful home. You could take away everything that they have, and they could still literally take the knowledge that they have and go out and create tremendous wealth literally overnight. I mean, just with a single deal or, you know, certainly within months.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about that in the book. And one of the reasons that we talk about that particular phenomenon is because we recommend people become lifelong learners. Always be constantly moving forward. Always be improving yourself, improving your skill sets, and also enrolling other people in your cause, in your business, in your initiative, whatever you're working on. Expand your network of people. There's a great chapter in the book on networking and how to get into relationship with people who can leverage what you're doing and help you build and grow your business. So become a lifelong learner. That's something that we talk about. And the other thing is that this is principle number 9, success leaves clues. And that is this idea that for whatever you want to accomplish in your business, chances are very, very good that someone else has already accomplished that. You just need to find that person, access that information, take on their mindset, their strategies, whatever they used to become a success, take that on, assume that into your own life as part of your own habits and your DNA, and follow that advice. So success leaves clues. That's something that we talk about in the book as well. Very, very useful for entrepreneurs who, frankly, try to master a lot of things that probably they shouldn't be trying to master. Entrepreneurs oftentimes don't delegate as well as they should, and oftentimes they try and go educate themselves on things when it would just be much easier to go find somebody who knows all about that, a lot more than you would know, and could execute and implement and deploy literally within moments of meeting you. So this is something with all kinds of things, themes that we talk about in the book.
I'll tell you something, you know, and I'm a very motivated, just, you know, I know we've just met, and I'm a very motivated person. I'm a type A, but I'll tell you something. I just feel like, okay, I can't wait for her to get off the phone so I can start doing these 22 things. And I don't mean it disrespectfully, but you've totally motivated me just talking to you. So I can't wait to dive into the book again. And for people who haven't gotten the book, where's the best place for them to get the book?
Any bookstore out there, of course, the original edition from 2005 is still circulating out there in bookstores. There's a little inventory left, but you can certainly go to any online reseller and get the new version, which again has that Success in the Digital Age section, but also a lot of upgraded information, new chapters on networking and becoming a leader worth following, also a new chapter on the law of attraction, how to manifest through the power of intention things that you want to happen in your business, opportunities that you want to attract. So all good information. And again, any online reseller has the new edition and most major bookstores as well.
Oh, awesome. Now, I've got one last question for you, if you're okay. It's kind of on the subject, but a little bit off the subject. So one thing I've noticed with entrepreneurs is that, you know, we'll, and myself included, we'll have success, and then all of a sudden we hit a new ceiling. And we'll have success, and there's another new ceiling. From the success principles or even your own experience, how do you suggest people maneuver through that? Because that brings up all sorts of fears.
Well, I think the easiest way to get past that plateau is to reach out and get into relationship with a mentor or an advisor who's been there before you, who's achieved on a higher level than you have. Because you know what? To them, what you're going through is not so scary. To them, it might be something they just do every day. So I think it brings tremendous confidence to you as an entrepreneur to have somebody for whom every day business activity isn't so scary. So literally, this is a success principle that we know the top achievers use, is that they access mentors who can help them as they grow their business. They access them. They act upon the information and assistance that those mentors give them. And, you know, just an example, I was talking to Les Brown the other day. Of course, he's one of the most beloved motivational speakers, has been for almost 40 years now worldwide. And he was telling me the story of Norman Vincent Peale, who mentored Les very early on in Les's speaking career by inviting Les to travel with him and learn the speaking industry by being literally in the field at Dr. Peale's events. Well, how many of our listeners today know the names of the top income earners in their particular field, or the most successful sales organization, or the most organized parent or mom with the most successful kids? You know, how many have ever approached those people and called them on the phone to ask them how they got as successful as they are? And, you know, how many have ever asked those top achievers to mentor you or make themselves available to answer questions as you're working on your own version of success? So many people are very talented, they're very gifted, and they have the ability to do well and to achieve, but because they don't have a system of coaching, a system of mentoring that's going to help them save time, save a lot of frustration and disappointment and setbacks, and also have greater confidence getting to that next plateau, these very talented people, many of them entrepreneurs, end up failing unnecessarily. So one of the things is to ask for help from someone who's done it, who has a track record of achievement that you can develop a relationship with. Very, very important.
And I so agree with that, because I know I've got a couple of coaches and they make all the difference, because you're absolutely right that they, and I do the same with my clients. It's like we've been there, we've done it, we know how to help people, and then we have the people who are above us to help us as we go through that. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and by the way, the kinds of things that you do every day, Kate, you probably do with your eyes closed. Imagine somebody just starting out in business who, for them, all of these new things are big questions in their mind. They're afraid of making a mistake. Well, somebody like you who's a mentor or a coach can really take away that fear factor.
Absolutely, and you're right. I love it, and as I know all the other coaches out there do, and it does help. It absolutely helps having someone guide you through that so you don't stay stuck. So we only have, Janet, we only have like a minute and a half. Well, now we've got 1 minute left. So in 1 minute, is there a big tip you'd like to share with everybody, either personally or about the book, before we go?
Yeah, what we found about entrepreneurs is that they set up systems within their business, revenue generation systems, because, in fact, I just wrote a blog post about this the other day. I was chatting with Steve Forbes, who was in town signing his book, his latest book, appropriately entitled Money. And he said that cash flow is going to be the most important thing for small businesses as we're still in some uncertain economic times. And so setting up systems within your business, things like your prospecting and lead generation system, your sales and lead conversion system, that internet that online selling system, the internet marketing system, media and publicity, new business development, all of these systems have key people in place who are responsible for generating cash for your business. Those are some of the most important things for entrepreneurs today. So that's my advice. And not only am I the co-author of the Success Principles, but as you mentioned earlier, I'm also the author of a book called Instant Income, Strategies That Bring in the Cash for Small Businesses. That's also available in bookstores.
Well, thank you. And also Janet's website is janetsweitzer.com. And Janet, thank you so much for being on the show, and I hope you come back again soon.
I was delighted. Thank you so much, Kate.
Take care. Bye.